Hello, it's good to have you listening. This is Liz, a member of Hartford Baptist Church, and I am going to be talking today about Psalm 84, about living near God. So I'll start off by reading Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies! I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favour upon the King, our shield. Show favour to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Well, a few weeks ago, I had the joy of walking alpacas through the Hertfordshire countryside. And in the farm where the alpacas were raised, there was a barn, and I could see swallows nesting in the rafters of the barn where the farm shop was. Oh, how beautiful! They were zooming in and out, working so hard to feed the young. Watching them could make you feel tired. They just don't stop moving. They're really fast, darting around with restless activity. The swallow here in this psalm could represent those people who are restless, who are forever looking for something new. They settle down and try something new each week, but it doesn't work. The psalmist says, even the swallow can find a home in God, a place to build a nest and to raise young, a place to live forever. The only place the restless will ever find rest is in God, just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You might remember that Jesus also spoke to his disciples about sparrows. He said, not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will, in Matthew chapter 10. And you are of more value than many sparrows. And in another place, Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold in the marketplace for 2 pennies? So Jesus recognized that the sparrow was a symbol for insignificance. Sparrows here could represent those of us who feel we aren't worth anything. The psalmist's point is that men or women who feel insignificant can find in God a home, a place of warmth and security, a place where life is fulfilled. You may feel terribly useless, but when you come to God, you can find security, peace, and purpose. So, as we come to this psalm today, whether we are like swallows or sparrows, we are coming to a lovely home where God lives, and we are going to think about living near God. My work is about personal and professional development of people. I work with people who are doing a teaching qualification, or they are doing a research degree, or they are mentoring others at different stages of their careers. And I have noticed some different kinds of people that I want to talk about today. First of all, the stuck. There are people who have had a bit of personal ambition that got them to where they are now, but their personal ambition was limited because they focused on their limitations. They get stuck and feel they can't go any further, and so they don't make any more progress. They just exist as they are. And then there's the closed. There are people who think that they are amazing in themselves. They don't seem to be able to see any of their own limitations, and they think that they're able to do anything. They don't seem to realise or acknowledge that there are things that they need to learn and develop within their lives. They are not looking for someone to learn from, and they don't take advice readily. They are closed to learning and developing. And then there's the hungry. The people who realise that they have limitations, but they can see that other people have pushed beyond those limitations, and they look out for people that they admire and respect who are going on that same journey as they are, but maybe they're a bit further down the road. They park themselves near these people. Now you see it more clearly with children, because they tend to look around and quite often they find an older child who they admire and they want to be with them and they want to be like them. They might imitate them. It brings to mind a picture that I've just been sent of my granddaughter who is 8 and my grandson who is 18 months who is looking up at my granddaughter admiringly, and he is even holding his hands and his body in the same way that she is. With adults, it's more subtle. Now, you're scratching your head saying, Liz, what has this got to do with our psalm? Well, I would like to suggest that we could pause here and do a little self-examination and see if we recognise in ourselves any stuckness, where we are not thriving as we could be, or closedness, where we are like spectators watching and listening, but holding God at a distance, instead of making our home with him. Or are we hungry? Are we parking ourselves next to God in his presence to admire him and imitate him, to become like him, his image bearers, to become his hands and feet, his kingdom builder here on earth, because he wants us and he needs us and he has called us to do just that. So, looking at the psalm then, in the first section, verses 1 to 4, and also in verse 10, it's all about our home in God's presence, about drawing close to God, living in his presence and worshipping him, because singing his praises helps us to draw close to him. When we think of who he is and what he has done, our hearts are warmed, our joy and our strength come from spending time in his presence. This psalm is about spending time living in his presence, being energised by him, enjoying him, then that can flow through us so that we can be a blessing to others. How can we be a blessing to others if we're miserable, closed or stuck, and we haven't found God's help and healing and wholeness? I'm not saying that we can't be a blessing to others unless we've got everything sorted, but that when our hearts are soft and open to God's work, he will bless others through us, even whilst he is at work in our own lives. In the next section, verses 5 to 7, it's all about our spiritual journey or our pilgrimage being towards God. We will have times when we walk through the valley of weeping, For many, this is where we are now, or maybe where we should be. Lamenting the grief, pain, and hardship that this pandemic has brought upon humanity, especially the poor, the elderly, and the displaced. As we draw on God's strength and are determined to walk with Him, then our struggles and tears are transformed into a source of refreshment and blessing to others who walk this path. When you walk through the valley of weeping, do you leave behind a blessing for someone else, or do you expect others to give you a blessing? On this journey with God, our faith grows stronger as we have opportunity to experience His faithfulness. We know that even when we struggle with circumstances and the valley of weeping that we are in, we are holding on to a firm hand who won't let us go, a firm hand who has already been this way, and He will lead us through and out the other side into the land of His victorious kingdom that He has promised us, the new earth that He has called us to be part of building here, even now. Jesus was the sign from heaven. He heralded in this new thing that God is doing, building His kingdom here on earth. We are looking forward to the kingdom of God. He wants us to look forward and not back. Jesus is the ultimate sign, the call to repentance, not the bad things that are happening around us at the moment. Jesus says, "Stay calm and trust me." Following Jesus is about ongoing repentance and bringing in His kingdom here on earth. He is the ultimate announcement of God's kingdom. We don't need to look for more announcements. This pandemic is not God's sign that people should repent. God is crying alongside those who are dying. What God is doing in this world is Jesus-shaped. It is through us, His image-bearers, who are in the world to bring about His will. What would Jesus do? Well, I think He would be first on the front line, ready to help. God is in control, in charge of everything, but Jesus shows us what that looks like in His death on the cross, in His service of others, in His weeping at Lazarus's tomb. Jesus loves people into His kingdom. When the early church faced disasters, they asked, "Who is at special risk? What can we do to help? Who can we send?" God always wanted to work in His world through loyal human beings. "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." God works in all things with and through those who love Him. We should be praying and lamenting. There are no easy answers. Groan in the Spirit. Not to grieve and not to lament is not to love. Jesus met people in their tears, behind locked doors, in their fear and doubt. And now we have to do that. Bringing bread to the hungry, sight to the blind, signposts speaking of new creation, bringing His blessing in the valley of weeping. And the last section of the psalm, verses 11 to 12, is all about our provision, which is amazing. God will not hold back anything that will help us to serve Him and grow in Him. He does not withhold Himself from us. His radiant presence helps us grow in strength, grace, and glory. So, living near God, our home is in God's presence, our spiritual journey is towards God, and our provision is amazing. I'm going to finish by reading Psalm 84 in the Message. "What a beautiful home, God of the angel armies. I've always longed to live in a place like this, always dreamed of a room in your house where I could sing for joy to God alive. Birds find nooks and crannies in your house, Sparrows and swallows make nests there. They lay their eggs and raise their young, singing their songs in the place where we worship. God of the angel armies, King, God, how blessed they are to live and sing there. And how blessed all those in whom you live, whose lives become roads you travel. They wind through lonesome valleys, come upon brooks, discover cool springs and pools brimming with rain. God travelled, these roads curve up the mountain, and at the last turn, Zion, God in full view. God of the angel armies, listen. O God of Jacob, open your ears, I'm praying. Look at our shields, glistening in the sun, our faces shining with your gracious anointing. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honoured as a guest in the palace of sin. All sunshine and sovereign is God, generous in gifts and glory. He doesn't scrimp with his travelling companions. It's smooth sailing all the way with God of the angel armies. Amen.